Chapter 12. Stargate and Quarantine. When the original pursuers of the Serpent Brotherhood destroyed the planet Tiamat, they made ready to leave this solar system and return to their own. They had to leave in a hurry, so as not to be hindered by the cosmic forces which would be unleashed throughout the solar system. Because of their haste, they did not have time to precisely scan the planet Earth, and so they did not locate their enemies hidden deep within the caverns and beneath the seas of pre-diluvian Earth. The masters of the Nephilim were relatively convinced that even if their enemies were on Earth, they could not survive the paroxysms and furor that Tiamat's obliteration would bring on. However, these unknown pursuers did not just leave our solar system without instigating precautionary measures. Before they made the journey back to their own planet, they established an etheric barrier around our planet that would be along the same orbit trajectory as the moons around the Earth. This barrier still exists and is utterly impenetrable to the Atlantean progeny, because the technology by which it was erected was of an extremely advanced level. From that time onwards, the moon would come to represent, in almost all cultures, arcane powers of protection and magic. This apotropaic barrier, often referred to as by native peoples as the Great Web in the Sky, was put there obviously to prevent the Atlanteans from ever leaving this place. The Earth was to be their tomb. The higher angelic intelligences which rule our solar system may have erected the cosmic barrier after relative normalcy had returned to the planetary grid. The facts are not clear as to how it got there or what agency is really responsible. C.S. Lewis refers to this barrier in The Quarantine of the Bent Ones in his writings, terming the Earth Tomb of the Aliens, Thalcandra, the Silent Planet. Before their discovery of the existence of the Stargate, the Nephilim intended to one day vacate this planet that has long been their terrible prison. They did not come here by choice and have not had a good time of it since their forced arrival. They have been, as the Bible relates, chained into the pit. It is their intention to break their chains and change galactic address as soon as the technology exists to make this possible. One would do well to notice how many movies and how much art and corporate designs embody the theme of release from some form of captivity. God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, 2 Peter 2, 4. The descendants of the Atlanteans were giving themselves a pat on the back during the Renaissance. They were satisfied that they had taken control of the planet economically and were making good progress toward reconstructing the science and technology they once enjoyed. In fact, as writers such as William Bramley have pointed out, they even had the ability to build craft for flying out of the Earth's atmosphere. It was at this point, or probably some time before, that they discovered the existence of the Stargate. They then realized to their horror that even if they were able to successfully reproduce all the advanced hardware they required, they probably could not leave the planet anyway. This knowledge caused them intense displeasure and confusion. They may have come across the Stargate by attempting to go beyond it, having at least one of their special crafts destroyed. Such an event seems to have taken place in Siberia more recently. In Mankind, Child of the Stars, the authors detail an account of a strange, previously unexplained accident. A very huge and puzzling meteorite fell thunderously in Soviet Siberia on July 30, 1908. Peasants heard the awesome explosion as far as 620 miles away. A large area of forest was flattened as if an immense object had fallen. No remnants of the alleged meteorite could be found anywhere underground. Radioactivity had initially been released in enormous amounts. The general destruction showed that the energy released had been far greater than the mere impact of a falling stone, no matter how huge. Most significantly, the aerial path of the falling object had not been uniform but had amazingly changed during descent. Various Soviet scientists then put forward an amazing theory that it had been a spaceship, driven by intelligent beings and loaded with a great power from a nuclear power plant, which had exploded through some accident. There is some evidence from the Bible and other scriptures that the presence of the Stargate may have been known earlier, but this is impossible to confirm at this time. The prolonged industriousness of the Serpent Masters seems to point out that they believed themselves able to leave when the time was right. Therefore, passages, like the following from the Babylonian legend of creation, which connote their internment on Earth, can refer to the loss of the hardware and not specifically to the quarantine situation in the Stargate. I descend, to the house of darkness, to the dwelling of the god Irakala, to the house entering which there is no exit, the place where dust is their nourishment and their food mud. Its chiefs also are like birds covered with feathers. In darkness they dwell. Legend of creation. When the predicament of the Stargate was fully accepted, the scions of Atlantis knew something had to be done, lest all their eons of effort and tribulations would be for nothing. They convinced themselves that what technology could erect, technology could eventually take down. It became their avowed and solemn intention to move humanity forward to the point where it became intellectually evolved and capable enough to develop the high technical sciences that could expedite their freedom. So, it was decided by the royals of England, the Tudor dynasty, that though their present researches and operations would not be halted, a new approach was needed. The man with the idea for this new approach and the one who would undertake its execution was Sir John Dee, the court astrologer and ambassador of Queen Elizabeth Tudor. Elizabeth, Elizabeth, was known, suggestively, as the Virgin Queen, said to do with her being a Virgo, but really because the term indicates blood link to the Serpent Masters and possibly to the Reptilians. The name Elizabeth means beloved of the gods. Sir John Dee was court ambassador to the Tudors, sick, Tudors. He would dutifully visit foreign courts, meeting with money men and master occultists of Europe, and then when sending back intelligence in writing to the court, he would sign his letters with the sigil 007. John Dee was a spy by a royal appointment, literally, on Her Majesty's Secret Service. The modern MI5 comes from his time, as do many other idioms and customs that are taken as English today. His library at the riverside village of Mortlake was considered the finest private collection in Europe, containing thousands of bound books and handwritten manuscripts devoted to philosophy, science and esoterica. In comparison, the University of Cambridge at the time had a mere 451 total books and manuscripts in their possession. D.W. Cooper and Lawrence Gerald.